The Republican Party in Wisconsin recently did as journalists often do. It filed a Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, request. Specifically, the Wisconsin GOP is asking to see the emails of a University of Wisconsin history professor named William Cronin. On March 15th, Professor Cronin had blogged about his belief that certain conservative groups are behind the controversial legislation that would strip union workers in Wisconsin of their collective bargaining rights. 2 days later, on March 17th, his university got the state Republican Party's request for, quote, copies of all emails into and out of Professor William Cronin's state email account from January 1st, 2001 to the present, which reference any of the following terms: Republican, Scott Walker, recall, collective bargaining, rally, union, and so on. This case has ignited a debate over the use of open records, or FOIA, requests. Some liberal groups charge that this is a witch hunt. The Republicans are just going after a professor fishing for embarrassments in his email just to intimidate him. Conservatives and the Wisconsin GOP say they have every right to ask for these records. The request is legal, and they do not need to explain why they want to see the emails. After all, journalists don't have to provide an explanation of intent when they file a FOIA. We wanted to know what a FOIA expert thinks about this case, someone who is a tried and true defender of the right to file an open records request. So we called Lucy Dalglish, the executive director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. Lucy, welcome back to the show.
Good to talk to you.
Can we just clear up a couple more details of the case first? The GOP can ask for Professor Cronin's emails because he works for a public university, right?
That's correct. Virtually all states recognize that communications by public employees that are done electronically via email or any other type of electronic communication also is covered by a state public records law.
And if he worked, let's say, not at University of Wisconsin at Madison, but Marquette, which is a private university, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's correct.
Okay, so now let me quote a couple of pieces in the New York Times. First, an op-ed by Paul Krugman, who writes, quote, "What's at stake here is whether we're going to have an open national discourse in which scholars feel free to go wherever the evidence takes them and to contribute to public understanding. Republicans in Wisconsin and elsewhere are trying to shut that kind of discourse down." And the Times editorial page agreed in an editorial that appeared just opposite Krugman's op-ed. James Fallows of The Atlantic made the comparison to the most infamous Wisconsin Republican politician, Senator Joseph McCarthy. Are these fair criticisms?
I don't know if they're fair criticisms or not. I can just tell you that the general law of access to records is neutral. It is intent neutral. And it provides access to whoever wants the information. I don't think academic freedom really falls into the debate over whether or not records should be released, because I don't think professors have any greater right to protect their content than any other wonderful profession of great value to the public. Whether or not his academic freedom is violated has nothing to do with the open record statute.
Let's just say the University of Wisconsin decides to draw a line in the sand and call this a blatantly political intrusion into the professional activities of one of our professors on the grounds of academic freedom. We simply refuse to comply. Then what happens?
Well, I think the legislators then would have the opportunity to appeal that decision. And I can't imagine that a court in the state of Wisconsin would not order the university to release the information.
Now, Professor Cronin has written at length on this whole subject. He believes that what's behind all of this is an attempt by the GOP to demonstrate that he has somehow abused the state email, that he used it for political purposes, which is expressly forbidden under statute.
He also points out in his writings that he is aware of the fact that Wisconsin courts have said that expressly personal emails are exempt. So in other words, if his wife sends him an email saying, "Honey, would you pick up some milk on your way home?" that is exempt under the open records law. But if he is talking about something related to his job or his profession or, you know, related to his position at the university, it is covered under the state public records law.
Now, in the fired attorneys general case in the Bush administration when a FOIA request was put in for the White House email, it turned out that a lot of business was being conducted not on the government email account, but on, you know, I think Gmail. Are we going to see an exodus of state employees from their official accounts to Gmail?
In general, nationwide, the trend is towards states recognizing that if you are doing public business of any type on the internet, that information is public. So even if you were doing public business on your Gmail account, in many, many states, that would still be public information and you would have to turn it over.
Now, there's a similar situation in Michigan where the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a conservative research group, filed a FOIA seeking records from professors at the University of Michigan, Michigan State, and Wayne State, all state institutions, on a similar fishing expedition. Your thoughts on that case?
That may be true. It may be a fishing expedition, but that doesn't mean there's anything illegal or inappropriate about it.
Let's just say that this is really the leading edge of explicitly political organizations making FOIA requests on a hunt for something that is politically useful. Is there a chance of backlash of governments who are so incapable of dealing with all of the incoming that they prevail upon their legislatures to pull back on FOIA on the grounds of just simply not having the resources to comply?
That is something I do worry about. It's something I worry about a lot. I communicate by email all the time. But you have to understand that we've probably quadrupled the number of records that are now public that wouldn't have been public in the past because this type of record never existed before. And states and local governments and the federal government are having a very difficult time getting their arms around this issue because they recognize that this is public information, but there is so much of it.
Given what you've told me, this seems like kind of an open and shut case, freedom of information-wise. But there is an awful lot of outrage out there. Is this case really particularly important in, you know, sort of the legal pantheon, or is it just gotten under people's skin?
I think it's just gotten under people's skin. Number one, we've focused a lot of nationwide attention on Wisconsin lately. Also, what's something that's a little bit new about this is it's the first time I remember a FOIA issue, Freedom of Information issue, being focused directly on university professors. And that's really been happening a little bit over the last year. There's a case in Virginia. There's this case in Michigan. There's a case in Wisconsin. We really haven't seen debate over this because I guess in the past, nobody really cared that much about what emails professors were exchanging with other folks. I've been kind of intrigued over the last week to 10 days. I belong to a couple of FOIA listservs. There's been a lot of traffic. Well, what do you think about academic freedom? And the consensus is basically what I've just been talking about. No, it's releasable, but because there are a lot of professors responding, one of the responses has been, hey, maybe we can get a grant to study that. That's a really interesting topic.
Lucy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Lucy Doglish is Executive Director of the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.